We've all been through a lot together the last couple of months. As we draw near to some restrictions being lifted, stay tuned to the Dr. Shoup Show to stay in the know for the latest fact versus fiction corona information. Dr. Shoup and his microscopic dentistry team is fully staffed and ready to serve you like no other dentist can. We're anti-crowns and anti-cavities. Plus, our procedures typically provide you longer-lasting teeth preservation compared to other dental practices. Start your new journey at ddsradio.com. Here's your host for the next hour, Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much for choosing to tune in and listen to me. We get to spend an hour together. This is where you come to become better informed, more intelligent, smarter. Certainly, you will learn information you will never learn anywhere else. You'll know all the right questions to ask and the answers you should be getting back. And if you are any listener at all, you know how this works. We begin in dental school 101. We hold hands. We walk down the hall. We take our seat in class when they open classes back up. And if you are hopeless, if you have ever been told that there is no chance that we can save your teeth, if you've ever been informed that there are no choices, there isn't anything that can be done, you need to hear what I'm going to tell you, in that there are choices, there are options, and it is those people that have the ability to think outside the box that can give you solutions when everybody else has been telling you it's the end of the road, buckaroo. It may not be. And in Ask the Expert, certainly you're going to get the corona update. And we are going to start relaying the circus of mishaps. And I'll give you another example where Uncle Randy gets validated again on what something you and I have been talking about for a couple of months now. And guess what? The media is just now catching up. And the scientists and the folks that are at the powers that be are saying, hey, guess what we just thought of? You and I are going to know. We thought about it probably 2 months ago. So there's that. And you get to meet my good friend Jennifer. Now, she came to me originally with a broken tooth. Seems straightforward, doesn't it? Broken tooth, sits in the chair, dentist fixes the tooth. Not at Microscope Dentistry by Shoup. Wouldn't you like to understand why the tooth broke? Wouldn't you like to have an understanding of what was going on that made her tooth break? Nobody had done that. And when we peeled back the onion, we found something real interesting. She's going to tell you all about it. But first, you need good news. You need something that's uplifting, particularly with all this virus and vaccination stuff. I'm going to give you a modern day home run hit when it comes to a vaccine right now.
Time to go under the microscope.
Yeah, look, I need you to get me on the national news pronto.
Well, there's so much talk and conversation right now about testing and vaccines and immunities and so forth. Everybody is debating about whether these vaccines work. There's controversy about how long it's going to take. Let me give you a real life, everyday, right now, current events, home run hit on a virus. You told me that one of the things you like to listen to is what we have that is new in science that can be applied to you every day. We have talked at length about HPV, Henry Paul Victor, HPV, the human papilloma virus. I have told you over a long period of time, we talk about that at the office. It is the number one reason women get cervical cancer. It is the number one reason young men and middle-aged men get throat cancer. And there is a vaccine, it's been around for a while, called Gardasil. And this vaccine targets specifically the human papillomavirus. Listen to this. The oral cancer and oropharyngeal cancer incidence rates related to tobacco and alcohol declined from 1988 through 2004. However, the overall incidence of oropharyngeal cancer has risen over the past 30 years, and this is attributed to a 225% increase in human papilloma virus oral cancer. The human papilloma virus oral cancer represents 70 to 80% of all cancers in the United States. Can you imagine that? The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved three HPV vaccines. Cervarix from GlaxoSmithKline is what we call a bivalent vaccine. It means it attacks two of the viruses. Gardasil from the company called Merck is a quadrivalent vaccine. It attacks four. And Gardasil 9 by Merck, guess what? Attacks 9, are called nonavalent vaccine. So it attacks 9 of these different vaccines. So that's great. Here's the important part, and this is what I keep telling you about. The statistics around vaccinations, the statistics about efficacies, specificity, and so forth is absolutely critical. Listen to this. It is calculated that the seroconversion rate for Gardasil 9 exceeds 99% for HPV types 6, 11, 16, and 18. So of four of the most deadly HPV viruses, this Gardasil 9, what we call seroconverts, in that you are given this medicine, this vaccine, and it turns into the antigens, okay, antibodies that fight the antigen that you will get 99% of the time. It's absolutely unmatched and unbelievable how good this stuff is. There have been no deaths attributable to the HPV vaccine ever. Nobody has died from this vaccine. There have been millions and millions and millions of doses of this vaccine worldwide, zero deaths. Nobody has ever found a statistically significant difference in the risks of serious side effects with vaccinated people with HPV vaccine compared to those who were not vaccinated with the HPV vaccine, meaning you take a group of people that were vaccinated with the HPV vaccine and a whole group of people that have never seen the vaccine, much less been inoculated with it, and there is no statistical significance between the two groups, which means you get this vaccine, nothing happens to you. It seroconverts 99% of the time, which means it gives you an absolutely amazing, incredible protection against those particularly four nasty viruses. This is a modern-day home run hit on protecting people against a virus that causes two of the most popular, awful cancers, cervical cancer in women and throat cancer in men. How did this come to be? Research. Did they throw this together real quickly in some sort of desert storm kind of military attack to find a virus? No, this took plotting, careful, calculated science. Good vaccines don't come quickly. good vaccines aren't made easily. We're going to talk about that later in the show. But I wanted to share with you this absolute modern day, pure, 100% home run hit on a virus. If you are a parent, aunt and uncle, or a grandparent of a child who is between the ages of about 8, and now the Gardasil 9 is approved to be given to people up to the age of 45, but I have this conversation with every one of my parents who have adolescent and teenage children, boys and girls, highly urging them to get this vaccine and protect these children, because these two cancers are nothing to play with. Now, up next, you are a hopeless case, or at least so you've been told. Not so fast. Uncle Randy, to the rescue. I'm going to actually tell you a real-life story that just happened right after this.
You're listening to The Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com. Have you been listening to The Dr. Shoup Show for a while now, but have yet to take that first consultation step? No more excuses. It's time to meet the Microscope Dentistry by Shoup team and have your first one-on-one sit-down with Dr. Randy Shoup. Call 317-776-1100 or go to ddsradio.com. We think about dentistry differently. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it is so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And every once in a while, somebody comes into my office and their story is so compelling and their situation is such a microcosm of so many things that happen that you ask me questions about on the show. And I want to thank you very, very much for going to ddsradio.com and submitting your questions to me. It gives me so much information, and it helps me spark those little ideas and concepts that I bring to you on the radio show. But we had a young man, I'm doing a favor calling him a young man, but we have this young man that came in, and his name was Steve. Steve is a guy that has been to the dentist off and on over the years. Steve used to smoke a lot, doesn't anymore. Pretty proud of himself for stopping smoking. And he has been told that he is hopeless. There's nothing that can be done. He doesn't have any choices. The only option for him is to extract all of his teeth and put in a whole bunch of implants and build this fancy crown and bridge work on it. And it's going to cost him probably in the neighborhood of, in the ballpark of $50,000, 50,000. It's like a really, really good car. Okay? And he had to do it right away or all of his teeth were going to fall out and he would be toothless. Now, here's the deal. Steve still has most all of his front teeth. And Steve is a guy that is out in the world working. He's single now. He's got a couple of lady friends. And the thought, the concept of him losing all of his teeth, even as bad as they are, absolutely shakes him to his very foundation. Okay? It sends a shiver up his spine that he can't get rid of. And he was told not once, but twice, that he was hopeless. There was nothing that could be done. They all needed to come out immediately. That was it. And he was looking at this price tag thinking to himself, there's no way I can afford this. So I am absolutely in a hopeless situation. My teeth have to come out. My teeth are going to fall out, I've been told. And I don't have enough money to do it the right way. I am really in a pickle. So Steve comes to my office and he and I sit down and have a really great initial consultation, a really good heart-to-heart talk. And here is what we came up with. Here's the thing. He smokes, yes. He's lost several teeth, mostly back ones. Absolutely. He has several teeth, particularly the front ones, that are pretty darn wiggly. They're loose, okay, because of the advanced periodontal disease. He's been told it's the end of the road, all right? He needs dentures supported by implants. He is going to have to go without any teeth for, quote-unquote, a while. Doesn't know how long that is, okay? It's going to be very, very expensive. But right now, after all the stuff that's going on, he's on a pretty tight budget. Okay, so we did a really thorough, like we always do, comprehensive exam. And what the other people told him was right. He does have very severe periodontal disease. And he is going to lose probably all of his teeth over time, without question. But his bite was way off. I could tell that because that happens almost every time when you lose a whole lot of teeth and have periodontal disease, your teeth shift around. So he had about three or four different places that his jaw could settle depending upon which teeth he was biting into. And that was causing him to grind his teeth, which was accelerating and exacerbating everything that was going on. Steve was petrified of the thought of losing his teeth. So, we started to think through the options and the choices that he may have. And when it was all said and done, I'm going to tell you what Steve and I have endeavored into, and it will absolutely shock and amaze you. Number one, absolutely, we enrolled him in our periodontal program. Yes, he's got infection around his gums. Why leave it alone? Nobody else was going to treat his teeth. He probably has two or three or maybe 4 years of good service out of a lot of his teeth. If you simply clean them up, get the infection out from around them, they're going to do the best they can to heal. Steve does a pretty darn good job of taking care of himself. He does a really good job about watching his diet. He's quit smoking, which is a massive, huge help. So we enrolled him in our periodontal program, killing off the bugs, killing off the bacteria that is really the initiator of this periodontal disease. Then his bite is so far off, I didn't even know which one of his multiple bites was the right one. So we had to hone in, and we made him what's called a coice positioner. It's a little gadget that he wears on his upper teeth, and it allows his jaw to kind of float a bit, and it allows his jaw over time to seat the joints exactly where they should be so I could find out exactly where his bite is. So we did that, and I figured out where his right bite is, and sure enough, a whole bunch of teeth have drifted into the wrong location. So Steve and I are going to do, you ready for this? Some limited braces. This guy has been told by everybody on the planet his teeth need to be extracted right now, and there's no hope for him. He's in our periodontal program. We figured out where his proper bite is. We now have him in some braces to move these teeth back to where they came from. Once the teeth get back to where they came from and lined up pretty nicely, it's going to be easier for him to take care of them because they're not going to be crooked. His bite is going to be stable, and he only has one bite now, which is the right one, okay, the correct one. And number three, we're going to actually splint some of these teeth together. We have techniques that we can actually take these teeth that are very loose and wiggly on their own, and we can, in essence, glue them together. So if you have your hand out in front of you and all of your fingers are spread out and they're all individually wiggly, yeah, you can grab each finger and wiggle it pretty easily. But if you roll those puppies into a fist and hook them together, then it's pretty solid. And that's what we do for his teeth. We actually attach them, hook them together. You don't see it. It's really attractive. And it looks great. And so we are going to keep him in the perio program. His teeth are going to be straight. His teeth are going to be attached to each other. And his teeth are going to be stable. He's going to have one bite. And then we're going to make for him some appliances that he can wear that will supply him with the missing teeth, but so that he doesn't have to chew on his front teeth all the time. And we can do this for him at a fraction of the price point that anybody else said he had to jump in and he needed to go find $50,000 laying in the bottom of his closet or in underneath the cushions of his couch. He's going to go in, he's going to get his teeth in a healthy condition. They're going to be straight. They're going to look good. They're going to be braced and splinted together so he can eat and chew and smile and talk without his teeth wiggling around. He's going to be supplied with teeth that he's missing, all at a fraction of what everybody said he's going to be doing. He would normally have to spend money for. Is this therapy going to last him forever? No. It's probably going to buy him 3 or 4, maybe 5 years. During that period of time, we'll probably start to put an implant in over here, and maybe a while later, an implant in over here if one of the teeth goes bad, and maybe if another tooth goes bad, we'll put an implant in over here, and slowly, over time, he can slowly convert himself in a healthy condition at a timetable he can manage, at a budget he can manage, into where everybody was saying he was ultimately going to go, but he didn't have a choice. He didn't have an option. He was forced. His back was against the wall. Nobody gave him any sort of an out other than to jump off the cliff. We simply backed away from the cliff and found a path down the side of the cliff, a little of step at a time, so that he doesn't have to just do everything all at once, which I promise you, A, his pocketbook would never have absorbed, and B, his psyche would have never absorbed the concept. He would have, and he told me, he said, if you had not given me choices, I would have done nothing. And if he had done nothing, then all of these teeth, one by one, in a fairly short period of time, would have fallen out. And he said, that would have been devastating to me. He said, I would not have had any idea what I could have done if that had happened to me. So one of these days, I'm going to bring Steve on. And he, when we get further down the road with his treatment and we get further down the road with his success and further along in our therapies together, I'll bring him on and let him tell you the story. But this is what is so important, particularly now, particularly with the climate and the atmosphere that we're in, with the economy that we're going to be in. You need to have choices. Your dentist needs to be able to sit down and give you alternatives, give you ways of easing into the water, not having to jump off the high dive. So there you have it. Another cool story where you don't have to feel hopeless. There's no need at all. There you have it. Up next, our coronavirus update. And I love these. I told you so 2 months ago. I told you so. And now the government just now is getting around to it. I'll give you the details right after this.
You're listening to The Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. Leading the rising up of dental consumers who are sick and tired of being taken advantage of. No more unnecessary procedures so you can just be drilled, filled, and billed. That is over. and the Dr. Shoup Show is leading the revolution. Learn more or ask your questions now at ddsradio.com. Now, here's the dental industry game changer, Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it's so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And as promised, each week I'll give you the coronavirus update. And we check all the dashboards from the CDC to the Indiana Department of Health through Johns Hopkins, everybody. And here's the good news. The vast majority of the locations reporting around the country have stabilized or are on the decline for new coronavirus cases. Hospitalizations are way down. Hospital capacity is way up. So there isn't anybody who is getting sick now that has any difficulty whatsoever gaining access to an ICU bed or to a ventilator, which brings us back to what I told you before. You and I have paid for 190,000 ventilators that are supposed to be being built right now that we absolutely positively don't need, $2.9 billion worth of them that they all said we couldn't get through the coronavirus without. We have paid for them. We didn't need them then. We certainly don't need them now. So when, if we ever do, which we probably won't, take delivery of them, they're about as valuable as a boat anchor. So there you have it. So the graphs that I downloaded and are on the website are still valid. Those numbers are still static. The pie charts are still accurate. And so look at those to give you a sense of what's going on. Now, over the past week, a couple of interesting developments, particularly on the vaccine front. Dr. Lipstich, he is a Harvard virologist and researcher, has petitioned the government and the CDC and the FDA for a fast-track program that is called the Virus Challenge Trial. The Virus Challenge Trial does this. It takes a group of volunteers. It gives one half of the group this supposed vaccine that will create antibodies in this group. They take the other half of the group and give them a placebo. They inject them with saline solution that does nothing. They then give each of these groups a diluted, actual, real-life Corona-19 virus. And they see if anybody gets sick. Now, you first would say, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would you intentionally expose somebody, particularly the group that you know didn't get the vaccine? You know they just got salt water, saline, and you know that they're probably going to get the virus. The deal with this is that they can do these tests very quickly. Within a couple of 4 to 6 weeks, they can test multiple vaccines at one time. And they have what they consider to be a very low-risk pool. That's that actual quote, a low-risk pool. So let me think this through together. Where do you get a group of people that you could actually run the risk of giving them the live virus and feel pretty good about the fact that they're not going to get sick? The pool of people he's talking to are from the ages of 18 to 35. 18, because that's the age of consent. You can't do it for children below age 18. You have to be able to sign on your own. But they feel comfortable enough that this group of people is at such low risk, they could even risk giving them the virus. And the likelihood, the odds, the probability of them having anything bad happen, where have you heard that before? Here. They're now taking this and using it as the basis by which they can do this virus challenge test, okay? And you and I have talked at length. The best way to open up our economy is to put kids back in school, get the colleges back up and running, because that is absolutely positively the lowest risk group. These researchers, with the approval of Washington, with the approval of the FDA, with the approval of the CDC, all have said, this guy, this lipstitch guy from Harvard, is brilliant. He's thought up this new way of doing it. It's great. But they won't send kids back to school. Can you tell me the disconnect there? Does that make any sense to anybody? It doesn't. They just are doing this fly by night, seat of the pants. They should do what you and I know to do. Now, everybody all got their underwear in a huge knot because of this pediatric multi-system inflammatory syndrome. They've even given it a name, PMIS. It used to be called Kawasaki syndrome. They first had this, they discovered it, looked at it in Japan, okay? Usually happens to children below the age of up to maybe about 12 or 13 is about the max. After about age 13, these kids don't generally have this happen. Usually more in boys than girls, and it is very, very, very rarely fatal. These kids get sick, but they don't die. Okay? The number one thing they get is fever. They get swollen lymph nodes. They get a rash on their body, almost looks like measles. They get red eyes, conjunctivitis. They get really red bloodshot eyes. They get a sore throat. A lot of them get diarrhea and stomach problems. The problem is, parents look at the kids with these symptoms, they'll have a persistent high fever for like 3 or 4 days before the parents take them to the doctor. Wrong answer. You take the kids to the doctor right away. This is an old thing. It's not new. It's not just because of the coronavirus. It's been around a long time. Every time we have a viral outbreak of whatever sort, it could be a flu, it could be cold, it could be whatever, on each of those, the SARS, the MERS, the H1N1, the bird flu, whatever you want, after following those, we get these small, minute, tiny, insignificantly percentaged outbreaks of this syndrome. Children rarely die if the parents pay attention to the symptoms and get them to the hospital. So don't let everybody scare you. The media has been wonderful at scaring the bejeebers out of it, thinking that every child in America is going to get this and be in horrible condition. It is rare. It's not going to happen to any amount whatsoever. If it is, you can effectively screen and identify these kids with one thing, a thermometer. They always, 100% of the time, present. The first presentation is fever. They're febrile. Okay? So you take their temperature. If a kid shows up with 102 temperature, given what we're in, I would say the first thing I would think about was Kawasaki's. Send them off and get them treated. They'll be fine. It's okay. So there you have it. So this is what's so fascinating to me about how people make these, they hang their hat on what is logical on one location, and then they say, oh no, we can't do that on another location. It makes no sense whatsoever. So up next, you get to meet Jennifer. She is truly one of the most unique ways of fracturing a tooth I've ever heard. I've had people come to me on my entire career with broken teeth, and I've heard almost every story that's out there. except this one. She's going to tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. Your host is known by some as Uncle Randy because so many listeners who have turned into patients simply feel so comfortable with him and fully trust the doc after having an initial face-to-face consultation. Our new patient process is simply something they've never experienced before. Microscope Dentistry by Shoup cares about you as a person, not just another billable. You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at ddsradio.com. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it's so great to have you all here. Thank you very, very much. And as you know, this is truly my favorite part of the program. And I have some, if you want to have fun at the dental office, you be sure to make your appointment when Jennifer is there. We have a good time. She is one of the most fun, lively people ever. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
See, she's so calm and subdued right now, but this woman laughs all the time, and it's absolutely great. It's infectious. It's wonderful. I love it. And so thank you very much for being with us today. If you wouldn't mind, let's start by how in the heck did you find me in the first place?
Well, I am not a very good dental patient. I asked a lot of people who they would recommend because I do not like to go to the dentist, and a family member told me that he had been to you and was very pleased with the work you had done. So I decided to give it a try.
Well, you must trust this family member some in order to take the advice.
He knows I'm not a very good dental patient, that I shouldn't say I'm not a good dental patient. I don't like to go to the dentist. I probably even would say I have a phobia of going to the dentist. So since he knew my history a little bit, I felt like he would steer me in the right direction.
Well, there you go. I take that as a gigantic compliment that A, you came, B, that we met, and C, you're still together. We're still together, kiddo. We're still there. We're like Donnie and Marie. Congratulations to us. So anyway, but one of the initiators was you had a broken tooth.
Yes, I did.
And we needed to fix your broken tooth. So how did your tooth break?
Oh, it's kind of embarrassing to tell, but
I know because I want you to say.
And as he was adjusting my back, my knee came up and hit my jaw, and I cracked my tooth.
That is quite an adjustment. Were you working out for like Cirque du Soleil or something? I mean, was this a America's Got
I'm not
Talent?
That flexible. It was quite a feat to get my knee clear up there to my jaw, but it happened.
Oh my God! Well, when you told me that, I can't keep this to myself. We've got to share this with all the folks that listen on the radio. But once we got looking around at things, we realized that your bite had been, had been off for a long time. And so we decided before we started, kind of getting too far down the rabbit hole to check out your bite. And we use this gadget called a Coice positioner. Most people don't know about it. Most people don't know they exist. How was that experience for you?
It was not bad at all. I was a little nervous when you made the impression for it, just because I'm nervous about anything new.
Sure.
But I wear it all the time now, and I think it does help me with not grinding my teeth.
Sure.
So it was not bad. It's just a little appliance that fits in the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, and one of the things that you and I discovered, and I thought this was kind of like a Sherlock Holmes kind of a thing. Yes, your chiropractic adjustment was certainly a catastrophic event, but your tooth grinding had created a lot of fractures in your teeth. And I think this was the straw, you know, your knee hitting in your adjustment was kind of the straw that broke the camel or tooth's back, if you want to think of it that way. So as we go, so we decided let's look at and think about restoring teeth at your proper bite rather than just putting them back together like they've always done. So how has all that gone for you?
Well, I think it's gone very well. I don't really have anything negative to say about it. I occasionally forget to put it in, but I think that I like what is happening with my bite.
So with this COIS thing,
feels more comfortable.
There you go. That and so it makes a huge difference. This is what why it's always amazing to me. More dentists don't use these things. In that, people get these chipped, broken, cracked, banged up teeth. Their bite doesn't ever feel right. And this little gadget, which you now like to wear, rectifies and solves that problem so that you can go down and everything's more comfortable. So I'm thrilled to death that it has been a success for you.
Well, and I didn't know that I even ground my teeth. My oldest son was a horrible teeth grinder when he was little, but I didn't know that I did it. So I think it'll save my teeth a lot of wear and tear in the long run.
Absolutely. Where do you think that poor kiddo came from? I mean, you know, like mom, like son. I mean, what the heck? It might be genetic. Who knows? You know, you might have passed on the tooth grinding gene. I don't think there is one, but it sounded plausible for a second. So anyway, well, I appreciate the heck out of you coming on and sharing your story about, I wanted you to share the story about the chiropractic adjustment in your knee. I that's too good to keep under wraps. And I'm sure that that's only one of those I've ever heard in my entire career, which.
Well. I have a lot of unique experiences like that. I do have a new chiropractor, by the way.
Oh, well, I think that's a wise choice. I'm just saying. That's a great, wise choice. Well, Jennifer, thank you very much for taking some time out for us and sharing your story with everybody. And congratulations and good luck with your new chiropractor.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're
welcome. I will see you later this week.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Thank you very much. All right, Jennifer, I'll talk to you later. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed hearing that as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. You know, we were supposed to be in Kenya about now for our Kind Dental Mission trip, and because of all of everything that's going on, we could get to Kenya, we just can't get back. The State Department has closed off the borders, and so we were unable to go now, but we are trying to regroup ourselves to August or September, which we have been told will be when things will open up and we can indeed travel to Kenya and be permitted to return back to the good old U.S. of A. This gives you a lot of time to go to ddsradio.com and where you can click over to kinddentistry.org. That is the website of our foundation where we take your donations, and we absolutely positively need your financial support to make this happen. Not only are we going to be treating children in Kenya this year, but we are also going to be making plans with my colleagues of setting up a teaching and training center so I can teach the Kenyan dentists how to do what I do. So go to kinddentistry.org and give us your generous donation. So until I chat with you next time, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling,